Good morning. We'll go ahead and get started with this morning's session. Thanks everybody for coming to listen to our talk on improving the user productivity in the Microsoft Dynamics AX with our web client. My name is Adrian North, and I'm the Group Program Manager for the client mobility space on the AX mobile product, or the AX product. And with me today is Daniel Anekas, who is going to come up. He's from Exaptive, and he's going to come up and talk about some of his workspace experiences within the product and provide some additional commentary on what we've built and how that really helps users be more productive. I wanted to start with a quote that we had been using. You know, as we talk about our application and where business users spend their time, we recognize that productivity is about getting the most out of what you have. We have lots of computing and data potential within the application due to the business and the information that's there and as the user works within the product. But the time that a user has is scarce, and it's something that we're wanting to effectively manage and trying to get them the most out of what they're doing within the application. So one of the first things I want to talk about in our productivity is around a couple of areas that we've done some improvements from the AX 2012 product as we went into building our new web-based client. We spent a lot of time on our navigation area. In the area of navigation, it's important for a user to be able to find the tasks they need. In an ERP system, there are thousands of different tasks in there, and even after you apply security-based filtering to your application, a given user could still have hundreds of job functions that they end up doing in there, and allowing them to quickly get from one task to the next to get going with it, that's important in dealing with navigation. And one of the other pieces is now once you've started that task, you're inside of the form that you need to do your work in, you want to make sure it's as efficient as possible. It's all about completing the task, not the amount of time that they spent in there. So helping them get through things through shortcuts and actions are very important. Data entry is another key area that we focus on within the product. We want them to be able to enter the data with as few steps as possible. Allowing them to move through those tasks repeatedly so they can be efficient as they're working within the product. To do this, we did a lot of work within our navigation model coming into AX 7. We really spent probably several iterations where we had designed a navigation experience, and then we would test it out with users and see how it would work and get feedback on that, and we realized that some aspects of it were taking longer to go through than what we were expecting. So we'd go back again and we'd make another pass at it, because it's something users do so often. It's that starting point into the product. We spent a lot of time looking at the navigation. With that, we realized that from talking with our users that the favorites concept from 2012 was very important in the product. So we did some work to ensure that that carried forward and made that even more streamlined in terms of the use. Another area in the product is around moving outside of the navigation that you directly can see is around search. Lots of products have search to help you get into there and finding the correct task that you want. In 2012, we did have a search experience. Unfortunately, it was dependent upon a SharePoint setup, and that SharePoint setup didn't always get done for users, so we found that many people didn't know there was a navigation search within the product and weren't familiar with it. So within the new version of AX7, we had modified that so that the navigation search is on by default, providing another avenue for users to get started working through the product itself. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to switch over and I'm just going to show a quick demo of some of those items that I was just talking about. So now here we're inside of the new Dynamics AX7. Just as a show of hands, how many people are familiar with AX7, have seen it, have been in some demos, hands-on on the product? It's good. Okay. For those who haven't, familiar with AX in 2012 and some of those capabilities, another show of hands with them coming in from 2012, I would assume many have been. Okay, good. So you have some good, fair background on the capabilities that we have here, and it'll highlight some of the pieces. I was talking first about the navigation and where we spent a lot of time. This first page that you're on is one of our navigation pages. It is a dashboard that provides the launch point for users to get into the system and go to a variety of different workspaces. And I'll talk more about the workspaces a little bit later. From within here, I have the ability to jump into the hamburger menu, and I see, you know, a bunch of familiar modules within the product. If I click one of those, I open that up, and I see, you know, easily hundreds of actions simply in that one module that a user has access to. And for a user to find them each time they need to do something isn't something that's very effective. What we did provide is the ability as they navigate into items, so I go into the all customers. And then if I have to go back to that later on, if I open up my recents, I will see that the all customers, the actions I've taken most recently, have been added into the product. I have the ability of enabling favorites within here by going to the item, and you'll see a little star is pressed there. So I can highlight that, and I can take the all customers and, let's see, all sales orders. I use those quite a bit as I'm going through demos. And what you'll end up seeing is them showing up in the favorites list off to the side. From there, I can disable something if I want, and I can, I clicked it instead of there. I can go and I can click on the button to take away the favorites so I can easily manage the favorites that I have available on my system. One of the other places I talked about was our navigation search. Up in the top bar, this is available across the product, so anywhere a user is in terms of their movement around, they'll always have access to this to jump to another part of the product. From here, let's go, because I want to get back to my all customers. And as I start typing, you see the list of things that start showing up. And as I do things, we'll then pass additional information, and we do additional filtering on the items that I have, and so that I can quickly jump into, say, the all customers form within the product to see that information. So those are some of the key navigational items that we've put into the product in terms of helping the user get started, going through the interactions that they have within the forms itself. Okay. And let's switch back. So next thing I wanted to talk about is in the area of the data entry. In terms of users needing to perform repetitive tasks, or places where you're going to want to use your keyboard as a primary mode of input, where a mouse or some of those other things aren't necessarily feasible. We want to make sure that those experiences that the users have going through there for productivity is as efficient as possible. When we started doing our project for AX7 and doing the work there, and we'd gotten our client moving along and we were able to start entering the transactions, it was a big switch moving over. But when we got to the point where we were able to start looking at the productivity, we were starting to test out with a process called keyboard level modeling, which kind of tracks the number of clicks and user interactions and mouse movements, and every one of them has a weight to them that kind of helps you put a mathematical value to the time it takes going through the system. And as we were looking at a couple of key scenarios that we had, these were just a few, we had more that we were analyzing, we realized that there were some particular parts of the product when we moved from a desktop-based product to a web-based product that the number of clicks or stops that they had to make along the way significantly increased because the technology was different, some of the things that we had to switch over. So that sent us back to the drawing board and had us re-examining some of the processes. Navigation was one of them, where, you know, the extra steps that users had to do to get in there really added to them. And I'll have to show that when I step back a minute on how we solved that one by taking out a couple of extra clicks to open up that nav pane and allow the user to in a single click, jump to the most common forms that they needed to. We found that in the case of actions that people were taking, that it was taking a lot of steps for them to get to the item. So we introduced a new feature in there around a new feature called Action Search, which is effectively based on what Office does when you can type in the action and then it searches through what they have to find the actions that are available. We did work on lookups. It's a place that you use in a system for a business. There are lots of places where you're making references between information. And easily a third of the information entered is picking something that was in a list and making sure you get those relationships established within there. So the work that we did to make that more effective quickly reduced the number of keystrokes that a user needed to take. A third area that we had spent time on was personalization. Users really rely on personalization to make them very effective in terms of, modifying the experience that they have, removing information that's unnecessary from the screen so that they can more smoothly flow from one phase to the next of their data, moving information to make it more effective for them. There's a variety of things, and I'll show some of those right now in terms of some of the pieces that we added into there. Okay, so we're on the All Customers right now, and while I'm here, I'm going to show some of the personalization capabilities that we have. Right now, I can go into here and I can say personalize this grid, and while I'm on there, I can say I want to add a field of information, and let me see what one is probably going to be one that I have some information on. I can go into here and I can pick, say, the account number and insert that into my grid. And so then I end up getting additional information here, and as I re-query, that's going to be there. The account statement is an example of a field that I previously had added through a personalization. I can also go into here and I can reorder the information that I need. So I can essentially tailor my grid experience here to include the information that would make it more effective for me as I'm working. In terms of personalization, one of the things we consider personalization is some of the places like the user where they'll do pinning of things, where we're going to remember where they said, I want to hold this open. So next time I open the product, things like this are going to be held open for me. Now, this is one of the pieces I talked about where we had to do some changes because 2012 had a nav bar that was open off to the side that always had access to navigational items. And some of our users really liked that because it was a quick action that they could do to jump from one form to the next. So those users who have populated favorites into there can easily jump from one section to the next. So by personalizing that open, you can keep access. We do other things in terms of remembering state, in terms of the fact boxes being expanded and collapsed. We put a lot of work into allowing you to maximize the space for users to work. You can collapse down a variety of pieces. I can collapse down my nav pane. I can collapse down fact boxes. I can collapse down my ribbons to maximize the space. And then the system remembers those personalizations. So the next time you come in, you get that same set of information. Okay, now I'm going to jump off and I want to go to our sales orders, and I want to give some examples of some of the lookup work that we had done in the product. So here I want to go in and I want to create a new sales order, and it's something that somebody might do in a call center where they're taking in lots of calls and they need to quickly work through that. Before, users would have to know the code for something to go in. And we still have that capability, but what we added this time relative to before is the ability to start typing, and then we will filter down the values until you find a match on there, which is something that existed, the typing the value, tabbing out, and the system validating existed before. What we're providing now is the ability to see the items, and you get down to a subset. In the case of impartial information, then it's going to pick that first one. But one of the new things that we added in here is if I go in and I start typing the description field, whereas before I was typing the customer account number, now I typed in the customer name, which is the secondary field to there. You see how that's already started doing a filtering on there. It didn't match on the primary key for it. It matched on the other one. So the users now can, in many places of the product, use either one of these mechanisms to quickly find it and fill in the information in terms of the system. Now, when I hit the enter on that, we'll now switch it back to the code that the system requires in there in terms of your actions. And there's a couple other places we'll see something like that. Now that I'm in here, I do want to highlight some other work that we had done, which is around shortcut keys. You know, throughout the product, it's important to enable the shortcuts, but sometimes they're not discoverable. What we have done is on all kinds of actions throughout the system, if you hover over something, you're going to find a description on there if there's something useful information, as well as what the shortcut key is. And here, in this case, I can do an Alt and an Enter, and then I'm going to accept that customer code that was in, and then I'm going to automatically move over to the other one. Now, I start back in the item number. Now, this is another one of those fields where I can start typing a value, and it's going to start filtering down to that subset. Or if I typed in the 1000, I switch over to a different device. I can type in HDMI in terms of a product that I knew was in there based on the description, and you can see how that filters down to that one item in the list. Now, let me just tab on to that. Okay, we've got that in. We added some other capabilities in terms of shortcuts, and I'm going to now use a shortcut to get to our search icon. It's going to be right up here, just to show what that is. It's a control and a single quote, so I'm going to go ahead and hit the shortcut key for that, and I get that action search opened up. I can now start typing on hand, and you can see as I've typed just the first few characters, you've gotten a narrowed list. On this particular form, there's more than 250 actions that are available between the header and the lines that users can do. And so we wanted to provide a list of them. Now, some of them are disabled. This is being done to show the actions that are available under different contexts in the form. In this particular case, I just have the on-hand available right now based on the business logic. And when you click that, you switch over to the form related to that. Now I can see the on-hand for the intercompany within the form. Within these, I can use the X button or escape to end up closing out of the form and jumping back. You'll find that in all of these places, we have these shortcuts where we're indicating to you where what the shortcut is for a user to go in so that they can quickly move around within the product itself. We did do a lot of work on the shortcuts, and I just want to show some things about how, you know, that or the breadth of the shortcuts we have. There's one place you can go, and this is also useful for users when they're looking for information about a particular part of the product. We either have task guides that are recorded against that part of the system, or looking up information on the wiki. I'm going to go in and take a look at the wiki itself, and I am going to do a search for keyboard shortcuts, and that's going to come up with a page from the wiki where we've populated all the shortcuts, so you have one spot that you can go take a look at the breadth of the shortcuts in the system. There it is. Opens up in a new tab, and we'll see from our wiki that we have shortcuts in a number of areas: actions, date pickers, fact boxes, filtering, forms, grids, messaging, and you'll see that we have a fairly comprehensive list of shortcuts. And this is based on, you know, feedback from users, understanding, you know, the core parts of the product, taking a look at, like I talked about, the keyboard level modeling, looking at places that were slow for users to go through where they had to manually do more steps, and providing them ways that could optimize their experience. So in terms of user productivity, this is a key area to look at as a whole, but you can also discover them as you're walking through the product itself. Okay, so the next thing I want to do is I'm going to jump back and I'm going to talk a little bit about workspaces. Workspaces is a topic that we, or is a new concept that we added in this version of the product. The idea behind it is one place where users can get a number of their tasks pulled together. I talked at the beginning about a user that has hundreds of different actions, and they may have a couple of different modules they're working in, and their job tends to break down into a few key grouped areas that they're trying to do. And the idea behind the workspace is take one of those groups that they have, not the whole product breadth that they need, because that would be a little too large in one space, but a given task area that they're performing on a regular basis, and start pulling in information into there that allows them to quickly work within that workspace. We have a few different sections that are in there. The first one is a summary section that often contains tiles and charts. We have a second section that contains lists of information. A third, which is optional in a lot of our patterns, focuses on charts. And the last one goes into related links, information that can help the user but isn't as prevalent as some of the other information that's off to the side. The idea behind this is if we can pull that information to one spot where they can both analyze and ideally take action within there, that really reduces the amount of time they spend bouncing around in different parts of the system. But not everything can be completed in that in the workspace. Sometimes the tasks are more involved, and it really does make sense for to use this as a launch point to jump deeper into the product to complete some more more advanced task. So with that, I'm going to switch back to the slides and the machine, and I want to show some of our workspaces. So to start with, back I talked about the dashboard being an example for the user and the navigation. On there, we have the list of all of the workspaces that are available. You can get to that simply by clicking the Dynamics AX button, or we have the list of workspaces also contained within the navigation off to the side. So there's something that can easily be referenced as a favorite if they want to jump between. The one I want to jump into today is production floor management as an example of a workspace that we have in the product that contains a number of interesting elements for users. You'll notice in the on the far side of there we have a chart in the summary area that provides a quick glance at the work that they have in terms of the areas that they're doing, and that represents the phases that you go through. You're looking for information that guides things through the process. It's not the information that's stagnant, but the information that's dynamic and helps you understand where you have issues or where you need to take an action. There are tiles on here that the user has that allows you to go in and click on that. And now you can see pages of information, or the information behind that, so that there was a count of seven. This suggests the seven items that you need to do. As you're running these, we're running the tile counts, and we're refreshing them in the background for performance so that the users get recently updated counts in terms of what they have in the product. As you move into the second section, you'll see that we have a number of lists. They're here. And as I tab through the various lists, different information will end up showing up in different grids, showing the sets of information. As we move through, you'll see there's actions and a variety of different shapes. But a good design around workspace for user productivity includes a few key elements. One is you want to have filtering within there. So if I want to go in and type, you know, I'm looking around on assembly information, and I'm looking at under the operation column, it filters down that information so I can find something that I'm looking at inside of it. Other ones are that you have actions that are there. They're really helpful for the users if they can just look at something in this dashboard that we've pulled up and allow them to take action. Like, I need to view the progress on this particular item. So that item is now showing up with some of the things associated with it, and then you can take additional actions that are available through here. You don't have to then drill through a variety of parts of the product to find it. Other actions like a reassign, again, it opens a dialog. We have places in the product that are doing drop dialogs, or there's simply a quick action that a single button would take you through to move. So those kind of things help optimize the experience for the users. There is one other workspace that I want to jump to that I didn't have configured on this one, but this workspace is our cost administration one. Again, the very similar elements on it. The charts are showing there, but don't have any data in this set. But what I have is another section on this one around Power BI. And this is another key area for providing insights to the users where they can get a heads-up view of a variety of pieces of data in the system kind of aggregated together. And it's personalizable. So in here, I was able to go in and make some changes where I can go into the add for the Power BI tiles. It's going to open up a dialog that allows me to pick a variety, and I'm dealing with cost administration, so let's switch over to the cost management area. You'll see in here that I have check marks next to these thumbnails of Power BI tiles that exist out there. These are generated based on the data that we have. And I can go through and I can make changes to them add in an additional one into this list. Click OK. And now you're going to find that that one showed up right here in the middle. In this information, I can also click on these Power BI tiles and drill into the Power BI dashboard. And this is where, you know, some of the Power BI skills, where you can start building additional components to show into there, creating other ones that can show up inside of the workspace. The separate sessions and information on the product can help drilling into those particular areas. Okay. With that, I want to, there was a couple other things that I wanted to talk about in terms of the when I'm on these workspaces. Some of these tiles are very useful in terms of that, and we have some personalization capabilities that I wanted to highlight. Here I can go into and personalize this particular tile, and I can pin this tile to the dashboard, and that allows me to make changes to my dashboard to bring information from that workspace, which is already an aggregation, and I end up showing that in line here, so that if I wanted even faster access to the information and the count, I can jump to it right from this spot to drill further into the product. Okay. With that, I do want to switch back to our slides. And I want to welcome up Daniel. Who can speak a little bit about his work with workspaces and the experiences that he had. Welcome, Daniel.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Adrian.
Hello.
We are Exapt, and what we do is really focusing on a specific industry for equipment and device businesses. Our solutions, we really took AX as our industry platform where we build the solution for the equipment and device businesses. Our solutions really shine when we have very complex scenarios around sales, renting, operating, and maintaining machineries, which eventually generating revenue to our customers. So,
yep.
Go to the next slide. Yep. The complexity of our customers has really come from the perspective of, you know, they are dealers and they are equipment dealers, and they really have to provide solution to their customers. Comparatively to an automotive dealer, you know, when it's a Ford dealer or a Mercedes-Benz dealer, you know, they're really focusing on one brand. There are a couple of variety of the cars you can sell it. However, the equipment dealer is really providing solutions to our customers, to their customers. Think about that when you have a construction. It's a simple road construction, it's really required a lot of machinery to go out and work it, or in the hospital when you have to provide power, emergency power generation and backup power generation. So for you really have to work with a lot of variety of equipment manufacturers to provide solution to your customers. So from that perspective, they really have a complex need about integrating with the different type of vendors, how to have a supply chain collaboration. So those brands, what you see it, actually is not just random brand. All of them is actual, our customers are integrating with them and working with them daily. So you can see the wide variety and the complexity come because of that. So for us, using the new Dynamics AX was really a revelation. Because we were able to really focus on how we can increase the productivity of our customers. And you can see here as a custom workspace where we can actually increase this productivity for them.
Yeah, I noticed when I was first looking at that, you've put a lot of information onto that one screen, you know, in terms of the tiles and things like that. What kind of process did you go through as you were, you know, looking at what information makes sense to put on this workspace?
You know, our customers really focusing on how they can provide proactively services to their customers. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, they really need a lot of information to they can actually see, they can monitor. So it's sometimes you can see this screen, this is too busy. I had to tell you that our customers actually when configured even more busier. So this is actually the less busy screen. The reason is for them to you know, if you were in a traditional ERP system, you know, if you have to get in information, you go to this menu, look this information, search it. After you go to the other one, you do that. So, which just takes a lot of time and in decreasing the productivity. You can get to that information, but not in a surface manner, where you can actually see the correlation between those things, what is happening in your system, happening with your machinery. The lot of the thing is important for us because we're putting a lot of IoT information in our solution. So we have equipment condition monitoring on the equipment. So those are feeding into our system, and we are unable to actually predict when the machine is going to break down and so on. We're actually using the some of the capabilities which has been built by the intelligent cloud.
And I see you've used lots of different aspects, you know, in KPIs, providing trend information on there, the count tiles with status indicators as to how things are looking.
What we really like that if you see that, it's you just presented before, that how you can bring together the things which is actionable, and also preventing information at the same time. And for us, is you know, you can see also that how we bring together the Power BI, the tile, and everything else in a very seamless fashion. So if you look at it, for example, a map, okay, it's actually a Power BI map presenting all those service contracts and the size of the services contract around the continent. So I think these are very kind of a very powerful way to interact it. What we really like the most also that, you know, when you actually go in, drill into in the new Dynamics AX and getting to information through a BI perspective, you can actually drill back to AX to getting those information. So I think there's no other BI product out there who are able to provide such a thing like that. You always get, you have your BI, you get your information, but after, okay, but I wanted to get details, what is around it. Now you actually have a whole drill back capabilities. So we really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, that's important when you can start from the summary, seeing trends and drill in, and then get back to the piece that's actually causing it where you can have an effect and take some action.
Yes, it's really kind of, it's really the next level of productivity how we see it.
So one of the things they're doing in here is they're using a form pattern that we have in terms of workspaces. So the process of building workspaces is very similar to what we have, is what somebody can do in a particular business where you need specialized information. You know, using the count tiles, we have a variety of type, or using tiles, we have a variety of types of tiles that can surface different types of information in a small amount of space, so you get a lot of density in terms of the counts. You can just be at a glance looking through, where's my problem areas? Is there one of them that's trending up through the KPIs that you need to make changes? The ability to put lists in there where you actually can see the active items. For those that are more important than just a count, you can put them into one of your grid lists that you have. And you can have a variety of sets of those.
Adrian, I would like to add you one more thing here. And people actually may see that, you know, you say a tile two, it's like event history, you have two. And yeah, an event history is a two. So there's you can have an OS sample also two. So you can have a different, based on actions, based on what your business needs, you can actually get different warning added to a tile. So you for example, if you said that if I have my oil samples, there are red type of oil samples, I can get a different type of warning. So actually, when you look at the screen immediately, you can see that where you have to take actions. So I think it's also is about not only just surfacing, but you creating those business logics and rules. Which is particular for your business and how you want to run your business, and you can pay attention to certain events in the business so you can drill into it and take action. And again, for us, it's really the whole new Dynamics AX is about how we can be more proactive than reactive. And I think that's, you guys did a really great job to enable us as a ISV, as a global ISV, to create such a great solution.
Yeah, no, it's all about, you know, analyzing and allowing them to take action on that. So those things are very important. So in the process of building the workspaces, you're using a lot of the pieces. How difficult was it to the building of the workspace?
It's a tricky question, Adrian. it's in the same time, we always have a question when somebody asks. We always say yes, maybe no.
Yes.
Maybe it is like difficult. It was actual doing the workspace is actually is very easy.
That's what I hear, but there's a piece that's a little
but there
bit
is
more.
There is one more, a lot of issues that when you create your first workspaces, you going to throw it away. So this will be an iterative process to create workspaces, because you really understand what you need. You really understand how you can use the more powerful way the workspaces. It takes a lot of iteration, need interaction with the customers, how they, what they want to see, what is the best way for those type of business process. So usually it's a time consuming things, okay, figure it out. Mm-hmm. So you will spend like 98% on the time on designing and iterating it than actually doing it. So the doing part will be easy. It's creating those workspace and the design perspective is really bit more
taught. That's our experience as well. So the design part is the key, and that's where you need to be thinking about that from the when you start a process of creating and optimizing. It's planning enough time in the design and iterations. Those are key because you'll learn along the way. One of the techniques we've used is identifying five questions. What are five questions that a user on that page is going to need to know? What's that information that's important to them to get their job done? Now, that may surface a variety of tiles representing different parts of that question that they need to answer in terms of health or the actions they need to take. But going through that design process with users, with customers, and understanding what their needs are and how they go through it, there's a lot of power they can get out of the productivity, but there's an investment that needs to be made to make sure it suits the needs they have, because how they go about their work will influence your design significantly.
I really would like to make any recommendation to anybody that really apply an agile methodology here, okay? Try it, fail it, try again. So I think this is really the goal, this circle to the continuous improvement in an agile manner. If you think that you were going to design something perfect in the first time, ain't going to happen, sorry. So for us, this was like, I think, like a 10th iteration or something like that, and we're still not happy because of certain things, but we know that we still have to go and improve all of our workspace design in the future.
No, and that's part of the where it's very useful that the building of the workspace is easy. There's lots of tools we have and patterns to do it. It's not hard to create tiles. It's just a grid is just another form part that you're sticking on there with the standard style information. But it's what you combine, what you pull together. That's where the value really comes out, where the productivity shines. And as we were doing our work, say, on our navigation, that iteration was what we had to do. It was try several times to try and figure out what was the most effective for user productivity.
I know, we see you 4 years to do it.
We spent a lot of time on that, yeah. So any other thoughts that you want to add on the workspaces or?
Not the workspace. I think there is one more item we would like to kind of emphasize that. Because for us was a very big challenge, or we was very afraid about that. You're moving from a client-server environment to a web-based environment. How are you going to enable the users to being very extremely productive? And our customers actually coming from an AS400 green screen system. Usually, a green screen AS400 is tuck, 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 tuck. It's done quickly, enable them to do the process. They don't provide a lot of information. But that actual process is extremely efficient. So what would even at a Windows-based client-based architecture is you're not getting that level of responsiveness and quickness. However, you get a lot of data integrity, what you may don't get done in other solutions. So what we really liked, what you introduced it now new is about the quick data entry concept.
Yep, that was a new feature that's recently come out.
Mm-hmm. And think about that. For us, we really started to utilize it, for scenarios like a parts counter person. To be able to quickly enter those items, the parts what the customer needed, without going through all the engineering validation, on-hand validation, and so on. So that enables the parts counter just quickly push through that process, and after running all those validation, in the process. Think about that, if somebody wanted to buy a parts, there are engineering changes to those parts, has been replaced multiple times, has been replaced like either or. So there is even more complexity on this. So when somebody wanted to ask a part, you may get totally different part which actually served exactly the same needs what the customer asked for. So running all of those calculations,
it can be expensive.
It is expensive, as you said. And you know, we enable as a, this quick data entry screen, which we measured actually the productivity. We reached the same level of an AS400 big machine, so actually some of the ways was quicker.
Yep.
Because of some of the keystroke what you enabled us to do. So we really look it forward to utilize it in a very specific dedicated scenarios. We, you know, so you still don't want to break all the data integrity and the information provided inside the process.
Mm-hmm.
However, we really see as a more as a spot solution
right.
for a certain area around industry solution.
Yeah, the fast data entry is something that we had done where we allow the client to get ahead of the server. Normally in AX, your processing really keeps in sync as you're going. You're constantly doing validation. You don't leave the row until the row is completely taken care of. What we're allowing with the fast data entry, which is an opt-in mode on the grid, is to tell this client that it can accumulate data from the user, not do validation on that, but then it processes and catches up because usually there's a pause. They have a number of lines that they're doing, now they're off checking some information and before they go on. And those pauses between are what we're optimizing so that they can type quickly, they can look at the other piece, and then we're processing them up in a batch so we quickly catch up with the user in terms of what the grid's doing.
Yeah, we are really impressive about the responsiveness of the web user interface. We were scared to very much, I have to tell you that, when we say the transition. How are we going to have the same user productivity what we had on the client server side?
Yep.
And we are, you know, and we can say we actually have better user productivity that we had before.
The numbers that I was showing on the click counts doesn't necessarily come into system responsiveness. That's really about what users have to take for actions because there's a cost with every mouse click, mouse move, you know, those kind of gestures that they're doing. They don't come into account. And that's another angle is to take a look at the system responsiveness. And we've done a fair amount of work in that area. So those things in conjunction where we've sped up the task time by providing them with the action search and the lookup type ahead and those other capabilities, plus, you know, optimized places like you want to use for the fast grid entry, you now get to a combination that in almost all places we're seeing exceeds the AX2012 in terms of the user productivity of the information. We also see in many places of the product that the performance is faster than 2012 because of the way that we've changed the system. We no longer have to make, you know, a user action can take several round trips to the server because of the client-side logic. We have the logic processing now on the server itself. So we take what the user entered, send it to the server, you know, only one user action goes to the server, and then it comes back. Or we sometimes will defer that user interaction if it's something that can be done asynchronously, like field validation. That those things have to be done before you leave the row in the normal grid editing, but in the fast grid editing, we suspend that so we allow the user to get ahead. And so those are some of the trade-offs to decide between the fast data entry mode or a guided mode, which actually provides the validation and that information as you move along in the experience.
I had to tell you one more thing, Adrian.
Yeah.
I didn't told you that before, so I'm going to surprise you.
Okay.
So we actually had a prototype with one of our prospects, and they actually looked for the way that how we can, you know, you said you did a whole KLM-based metrics about business processes. So one of our customers said, hey, can we do something that actually can even reduce that further?
Mm-hmm.
In an industry scenario, for specific, and you know we had one scenario with like 320 clicks, mouse movements, and everything else, and because of the new framework what you provided, we were able to go below 100.
Oh, that's awesome!
So we were like a 60% improvement. We were able to use utilizing the tools and everything else what you provided.
Yep, by optimizing.
By optimizing how to do it, some ending some functions, but which is created. Yes, there was code changes to it.
Yep.
However, you know, you still be able to get tremendous improvement for focusing a very specific process.
Yes.
To increase the productivity. It's extremely.
And that's actually a good point, is there are a lot of these techniques that we have can be applied in different places, and the product could be streamlined. That's what we did as we were looking at those KLMs. We took the forms that we had produced, counted the steps and realized, okay, these places, we have some ideas on how we can optimize and take those steps up, pulling information in. One of the things I didn't show, but is part of 2012 and we've advanced on, is in terms of the popover. So we provide information at a glance where you can hover over one of the cells and then that pulls up a rich set of information without having to do navigation, so that people can do on-hand checks or other calculations that you don't want to do all the time because it slows things down, but when you need it, make it quick to get there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. That's a 60%. That's a huge improvement. So, okay. Let's see. And I think that we are, this is the end of our session. We have, am I not on five? Some free IT pro resources in terms of that, these standard slides on that. And please fill out your evaluation information on this session. And we'll be around here for questions afterwards on what you have on user productivity. Thank you very much for your time. I guess I can take people if they have questions. If you want to head to the microphone, we can gather those. Otherwise, I can catch you afterwards.